100% moving all of this music.
Is that our safe word now?
Cutting.
Obviously, you have to cut that. Obviously.
We are better people than this, and I have not done this.
Okay. I'm the better one. I'm the one who's in abject horror.
I'm good now.
Okay.
You know, a lot doesn't make it into the episode for one reason or another. Take this intro, for instance. That took me over 17 tries. Fuck. This is the cutting room floor. In this bonus content, it's kind of an amalgamation of a couple different episodes. In Were the World Mine, Latter Days, and But I'm a Cheerleader, we all talk about conversion therapy. And though it's a very heavy subject, I promise if you wait till the end, there is a nice clip where Joey is just reading Stuart to filth. It really cleanses the palate. Take a listen.
What I'm taking from that is Stefan was attracted to a high school. What I'm taking from that is Stefan found himself sexually attracted to a high school.
As long as he was at least 18, I'm fine. The actor's in his like 40, so it's like it's fine.
Okay, talking about side characters though.
Yeah.
I actually, and I mean, this could be because I was totally like an emo kid at heart in high school. Mm-hmm. Catherine Town plays the goth chick.
Sinead.
What's her name? How do you pronounce it?
Sinead.
Sinead, thank you. Mm-hmm. So she plays Sinead, and we're basically the most memorable and only defining feature of that character is she's laying in bed half of the movie, shucking herself every time she has a naughty thought.
Yeah, which I guess is what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, again, it's the comedy of it, which is funny. And I mean, let's be honest, if any of us were being like, here's a really hot person you could have sex with, shock, I think I would just become really into like electroplay after Same. That.
You know, it's also like a very common thing that they did in conversion therapy.
Well, yeah. that was part of why I brought it up as a segue. So I actually did a little back history for people who maybe gay, straight, whoever you are, if you don't actually know the history of conversion camps. They actually started around 1899 when a German, so it's been 100 years before that movie. So a German psychiatrist electrified the audience at a conference on hypnosis with a bold claim that he had turned a gay man straight. And basically he bragged that through hypnosis and taking him to brothels and strip clubs and things like that, you know, he'd changed the way this guy thought and like put his shame behind him because, again, being gay at the turn of the century was very wrong. But what this German psychiatrist didn't realize was that he actually is the founding father of conversion therapy. Like that conference that he gave actually started this entire movement, which, you know, kind of terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But amongst many things, people would have electrodes, not even just like the buzzer that they're using, like she's using in the bed. They had the actual things put in their heads so that they could, you know, that someone else could buzz them from a distance anytime they had a thought. One of the earlier ones, which I had never heard of, like I've heard of a lot of this terrible stuff before and I have done some reading on it, but in the 1920s, they actually were castrating gay men because they believed that the testicles were where, you know, your gayness came from. And they thought if they castrated gay men and then gave them a testicle transplant with a hetero male's testicles, that would turn them straight.
What?
This was a practice throughout a lot of the 1920s, and it was founded by an Austrian endocrinologist, which is just terrifying. But yeah, they go on to do electroshock therapy, aversion therapy. They were doing lobotomies. They were actually giving some of their patients chemicals that would make them become physically ill. So whenever they looked at photos of, you know, people of the same sex that they found desirable, it would force them to be physically ill.
Didn't they do that to Alan Turing, where he either had to renounce his homosexuality or they castrated him like an acid castration?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Oof.
People have done a lot of really horrible things to other people for a really long time. It's unfortunate that we keep getting targeted.
It is, but the full circle that I wanted to come to is that this went on especially because they thought if they caught you younger, they mm-hmm. could change you. Oh, so no. It's predominant for teenagers. It did happen to a lot of adults through the 1920s all the way to like the 1960s and 70s when people started actually fighting for equality and gay rights. But The scary thing is, so I also did a little research because I was trying to remember if conversion camps were still allowed in Canada. Mm-hmm. You know, we love to think of ourselves as a forward-thinking country and everything else. So in June 2015, the Affirming Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Act, which is also known as Bill 77, was made law in the province of Ontario. And the act bans conversion therapy on minors and forbids it from being funded by the Ontario Health Insurance Plan and public health care for anyone of any age. Hmm. And that is the only full legislation I have found in a quick Google. But it makes me believe that there might actually still be some conversion therapy camps even in Canada. And I know they're still predominant in the States. There is a whole joint union of the Trevor Project of people trying to put bills forward in every single state to stop this from happening. Like, we make light of it, by the best way to bring an issue to a mainstream audience is to kind of make light of it, but force them to start asking questions.
Yeah.
But the whole point is, like, if you had never heard of conversion therapy, if you didn't know what these camps were, it's a great satire to put a real issue in front of you and then hopefully force you to start asking questions.
Yeah.
The sad reality is that, you know, we laugh and mock this in a way because we're like, oh, in 1999, it was still an issue. No, this is still a thing. It's terrifying.
We've seen a version of the same idea in latter days when I was young. My two defining gay films were But I'm a Cheerleader in Latter Days. And I've talked about how I felt about those movies in the Latter Days podcast. But the difference between the two is that this one's a campy, fun, cute adventure. And the other one is a more realistic portrayal of what a Mormon would go through in conversion therapy if they found him to be gay, or at least to our knowledge. Like, I am not a Mormon. I have never been to a conversion therapy camp. I just, the stuff you hear, the stuff you know.
Terrifying. But so I just wanted to give you a little history on conversion therapy and kind of where it started and originated. There's actually a whole section of it on history.com. Mm-hmm. It's just terrifying because they made all these false claims too, saying that like their cure rates were as high as 50%. And it's like, no, don't kid yourself. At the end of the day, it was like what Graham said at the beginning of the movie. You are who you are and you know who you want. The only trick is not getting caught.
Oh, don't you remember hearing that story about the woman who was schizophrenic and she was like a debutante and she was all rich and she had a son who was gay and she thought that if she had sex with him herself, that she could cure his sexuality?
No.
He ended up killing her. Anyway, back to camp.
Murder.
So But I'm a cheerleader.
Yeah, so But I'm a cheerleader.
I know. Yeah, I do love our tangents, but yeah.
I think that it comes across, in certain scenes, it comes across as too much. I think it's a common story that we hear a lot, or we don't hear as much nowadays as we heard between 2000 and 2010.
So
we do hear about it now. It's just not as frequent. Hmm.
I feel like this particular movie, like this story, suffers from the same problem that Valley of the Dolls suffered from as a movie, in that there's such a huge time gap, or there's so much progress or changes that have been made between the point of conception, the point of writing, and the point of filming the movie, that you're trying to fit in a lot of social change, a lot of political change into one representation of time. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I personally think if we read the original text, like if we read the original short story, it comes from the 90s. And I mean, there are tales of kids from the 90s who have been beaten, thrown out of their homes, abandoned.
Mm-hmm. And but you also, during the 90s too, Joey, just to go off of that, you also had, and to your point, you had that Exodus International, you had all those youth divisions of conversion therapy camps where parents would sign their kids up for that and they would be taken out of their homes by force.
Yep.
And taken out of country to live and like lose 2 or 3 years of their lives or die in these camps because their parents were so resistant to them being homosexual. They would literally sign their parental rights away for their children to be taken from them, to be re-straightened.
Yeah, and that's But I'm a Cheerleader. Like, that happens in that movie where she literally just like, you're going to go with this person. And she's like, there's no way I'm going with him. And all of a sudden she's in the car. Yeah.
Right. But like to Joey's point, that only happened in they closed in, I think, 2004, 2005. It became like illegal to take a minor out of country without his parents. This is why you get a lot of those questions now. Are you here against your will? Do you have any of these things happen because people were being sent to the Dominican Republic and are basically were like there for until they were 18 years old, but had no ability and no money to get back to the country that they had. And no one knew where they went. And their parents were like, we can't do anything. And most of the time what happened was kids would come back in body bags to their parents and there's nothing they could do.
That's terrifying.
But it's the truth. It's a historical fact. It's a historical fact. There's documents upon documents. There used to be MySpace message boards dedicated to people being like, I need help. My parents sent me away. Help me. My name is this. My address is this. My parents are this. And this is the last time they saw it. And their friends. There's actually quite a famous case of a girl being taken out of her house. And her last message board comment was, I'm going to be taken. Please someone do something. It took 7-8 months for her friends to contest the parental authorization and basically create a lawyer and legal defense took up the case and were able to strip her parents' rights away and also the organization's rights away and give her rights of her own body and have her walk out by herself. Jesus Christ. But it took forever. It's historical. Like this is what our community dealt with. So this movie, well, I think that there's a lot of important points here. I think it's what Joey said. It's struggling to put all that social change into this movie. But when we're watching it nowadays, we're like, this is a lot. This is too much.
Thanks, Elton John. Why couldn't you dress like him tonight?
I don't know. You kind of did.
What period of Elton John is this? When was Elton John homeless and smelled like urine and witch hazel?
Don't you remember that 6-day bender? And the parents showed up, but he was like so
That's this.
6-day bender. Yeah.
Also, I don't own purple suits that don't fit me.
You really should.
Really? Because this outfit says you don't have eyes to see, so.
Glasses.
Which again, for those of you, again, who are not visually able to be aware of this, my co-contributor tonight is wildly handsome. Wildly handsome. And the most dapper glasses and so well-spoken and so well-read and cultured and from the neck down looks like the worst part of the 90s. Like, oh my God. And it wasn't just like a few bad articles. He's accessorized this with like wooden puka shell bracelets.
You wear those all the time though.
I wear them all the time.
Yeah, that is his one thing.
Are you studying Kabbalah? Did you get off that Madonna train a little too late?
I'm still on it. I just need to understand
her. You're the last person left on a Madonna train.
It's me.
Social justice warrior here dressed like a homeless lesbian.
You got your acoustic guitar to go on the corner, bitch?
I got one if you need it.
Lilith Fair.
It's like rain on your wedding day.
Stuart, you're so brave. Thank you.
I know. Thank you. Thank you finally getting some fucking recognition on this podcast for being brave. Thank you so much. How many times have we recorded this fucking podcast?
I'm going to cut that part.
That is wrong. Now, Stuart, you are wrong. We have been telling you for ages.
Social justice warrior here dressed like a homeless lesbian. Do you got your acoustic guitar to go on the corner, bitch?
I got one if you need it.
Lilith Fair.
It's like rain on your wedding day.
We have said how brave it is for you to have this list and to still do the podcast. We have been talking about your bravery for ages.
I'm going to have a supercut of everyone complimenting and like reading Stuart, I promise. Like I just need to get you in with more of them so that I just have one 30-minute like set. I can't wait. All right, that was our episode. My thanks, as always, go out to, oh my, Chad, Stuart, PJ, and Joey. All four of them were in this one, unintentionally, but it just worked out so well because they had such a great opinion, spanning a few weeks. Go figure. If you like this episode, fantastic. If not, why am I even asking? You made it this far. My Instagram is SJMARONI, that's SJ Maroney. You can find more content for Rebel Without a Closet at RWACPOD, both on Instagram. We'll be back this Saturday with our review of Shelter. You're welcome, Stuart. It finally happened. And actually, I won't say any more than that. I shouldn't say anything about the movie. I'm just going to say we recorded it. It's awesome. So hopefully, I'll talk to you then.
The Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. If you want to find me on Instagram, it's xndra_design, xndra_design. I would love your feedback, comments, hate mail, whatever you got for me. But let me know it's podcast related because I get a lot of weird things in my inbox.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Bear Sailor Moon. You can find me on all social media platforms at Bear Sailor Moon.
Including Scruff.
If you want to find that, you can search me at Star Fox.
I like that it's still not your real name.
No.
You can find me on Instagram or TikTok at Jennykin_. Or if you have an Amex Black card, you can send me a DM. They are open.
It's not just the DM that's open, sweetheart.
Well, it depends on the net worth. That opens other avenues.
I have a moon kingdom. Does that count as net worth?
Better yet, I think it's more important to ask how wide are those avenues. You can find me on all social media at CARLOTTACARLISLE.
Amazing she can still spell that far up in like fame.
Hey everyone, it's Chad. Follow me on Instagram at CSKIO1. Or you could buy me a pizza. I just want pizza coupons.
I will also accept pizza coupons.
I guess that means I have to say something funny. Shit.
I'm not sharing my pizza with you. Okay, I will. I will, I swear.
You can find me at Julia Lynch on Instagram and on Twitter.
And you can find me, SJ Maroney, on Instagram. Find us on Facebook and Instagram under RWACPOD. Join our Patreon for all of our archive seasons and bonus content. And please rate and review this podcast wherever you subscribe. Until next time, go Steelers.